Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, watch over us and give us guidance with love and with grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We are nearly to Thanksgiving. Now, every day is a good day to give thanks to God, but Thanksgiving is a day that we give thanks to God as a nation. We have so much to be thankful for. And as we look ahead to see what is in front of us, well, we just wonder because there's ideas and events that, well, we just wonder about. What does the future hold? Well, each of us has different ideas because we each have a different life experience. Each one of us sees different possibilities, both with blessings and with problems. No doubt, some of us will say something like, "Oh, that'll never happen again in my life," because we've had an experience that, we want to protect ourselves from. So as a Christian community, what do? We search out matters and concerns, and just like any other relation as a community, as a member of a community, we learn to exercise patience and understanding. And so in your family, in your neighborhood group, in your church family, we know that there are people around us, and we take note of them, and we do what we can with grace and love. And, of course, it's also a good idea to say who would make a good leader, because sometimes we need questions answered and resolved, and sometimes we need a person who can give a good opinion on the matter. So just think of that as you go forth in your life. Who would you like to have as a man or a woman who is good at discerning the things around you, whatever it is? For the just in case, what if a situation were to occur? You don't have to follow things that you think about, but you have, if you've examined it, you then have the possibility of following a plan that you have considered in advance. And that makes you more confident to be moving forward with thinking and decisions. If at some time you do need to make a quick, short time frame decision. Last week, wasn't it, I told you about my uncle, or really my mother's uncle, but I think of him as uncle. Last week I said that most of my family was in West Germany, but there were a few people in East Germany. And sure, the Berlin Wall went up fast, so there wasn't much chance to move from one Germany to the other. But if you really wanted to, you could find a way to get from one Germany to the other. But you pretty much would be leaving most of your things behind if you moved from east to west. Maybe you could take a suitcase. The point is often enough we don't have much time to think about something that is happening right in front of us. We don't have much time to make a choice. And if we don't act quickly, well, the chance to act may be gone. And that's the way it is with my mother's uncle. He was a kind of an intellectual guy. He had a wife and a young daughter, so he did not end up leaving to where there was a freer government in West Germany. He was a teacher in East Germany, but his career never really went anywhere because he refused to join the Communist Party. Not he, not his wife, and not his daughter. They never joined the Communist Party. So over the years, they noticed that the opportunities were not available to them, even though they were qualified. And it was because they did not belong to the party as to why they were held back. Now, in 1970, I visited my family in West Germany, and on that trip, I also went to East Germany. It's an interesting place to go behind that Iron Curtain. Americans could travel freely to the eastern countries, the east behind the Iron Curtain, but the West Germans really couldn't. But as an American, I could go, and on the border, it was certainly an experience that was way different from our American experience. So many guards, all with submachine guns. And then there was 300 feet of no man's land, which was just bare ground, and with rolls of concertina, barbed wire, all over. So it was a notably different experience. The trip regarded getting to the guard station checkpoint Charlie about 2 hours early, and then filling out forms, like four forms, five times, each separately and each perfectly, because they did not have carbon paper. You just had to fill out the forms over and over again. And then there was a couple of long lines in which you had to stand all day. Well, just about all day. For me, the approval was completed half an hour before they closed. So it was a long day. But I did get the 3-day pass, and only 2 days of it were used, and I went back to West Germany to sleep. Well, East Germany did make a pretty big impression on me. The streets were wide. Not much was going on. It was as though every street was deserted. Like I said, not much going on. Everything took energy, took money, took time. It was not like there was any of those things that were extra. But they had wide streets, kind of in the grand old German style. But to me, what was so notable was that even there were quite a few wonderful, grand buildings on big, wide main boulevards, they were always dark and dirty, and I'm sure they had not been cleaned in the 30 years since World War II. The other thing I noticed was how many of those big stone buildings had bullet holes in the stones, and that was left over from World War II. There are lots of bullet holes. Seemed to be they were three different sizes, small, medium, and large. Well, as a young man, I couldn't help but notice that, and it was, well, very kind of interesting. It was far from my reality. Well, anyway, after World War II, Russia occupied East Germany and some of those other Eastern Bloc countries. It was just too obvious that Russia's intent was to take away every natural resource from the countries that they could. So they took the resources of East Germany and many other occupied countries as well. So several train loads of coal went from East Germany to Russia every day. All the while, in East Germany, there was not enough coal left in the country to keep the electricity on. So the East Germans had electricity for only 4 to 7 hours a day, sometimes less. And it was the same thing for the system that supplied steam to every house, or I should say to every apartment, because houses for regular people were quite unusual. Well, anyway, you could see that there were benefits that came through belonging to the party, the Communist Party, and if you did not belong to the party, you got less. Every block was monitored by a block supervisor, and each block occasionally had a nice person coming by who was, it was a part of their Stasi, their secret police. And they became involved with all the people that they could and gathered information on everybody. That was what the Stasi did. It was vast, vast records. And a part of what that group did was they gave gifts out, both little ones and big. And if a little one might be a package of matches or a cigarette, and a bigger one might be a package of cigarettes or even a chicken to celebrate the birthday of some Soviet Russian communist leader, either living or dead. But that's the kind of way things went. Resources were so scarce that even a package of matches had value. Now, I remember on that trip, to my surprise, when here in America, people gave out packages of matches just freely. But in Europe, the matches were taxed. And so every package of matches cost something. It was quite a difference between the life I lived and the life I saw there. So today we have people looking at different forms of political movements, and a lot of people today are looking at communism and thinking it sounds pretty good. But you have to realize they have not seen communism in practice. In practice, it has failed the people so very greatly. And I know that there's the differences between the different forms of government. They're great. But you can see what communism has done. I know I saw it. I remember I think it was about 10 years ago, I saw those old relatives of mine for what I assume is going to be the last time. And I saw the old East Germany. It's now combined East and West Germany, and there's a new spirit in the country of Germany. Capitalism has brought prosperity. And it helps, too, that there is a united identity of Germany. So there still is a question to see where Germany goes from here, because there is a vast influx of Muslim refugees, and we don't exactly know what that will mean. The way I see it, anything could happen. Literally anything. Lots could happen. There are lots and lots of uncertainties. But isn't that the way it is all over the world? Sure. About 10 days ago, I heard there was a bill approved in the California Assembly. And it's not law, but it was approved by half of the branch of government to allow the Communist Party to run for state offices. That bill has not been voted on by the state senate, but it did pass the state assembly. Oh, what are we getting into? If we don't know history, things will happen over again, and often enough, they're not good. So we do have to be very careful and watch our blessings. Now, as a historian, and by my personal experience, I have seen communism in action. Communism promises a lot and then delivers very little good on all the promises it has made. So there are many Americans who are aware of this, but there are too many Americans as citizens, especially the younger Americans, who have not seen the progression of communism in the world. They have not seen, they have not looked, they have not been taught, and so they do not know the dangers of communism. But I had a chance to look at the dangers of communism, and I can tell you, we don't want this form of political anything in this country. Already in America, what do we see? Politicians make promises that they cannot keep. But we have a system of checks and balances. In our American system, the politicians are answerable to the American people. And if those politicians are unsatisfactory, they can be removed from office. But in some of the other forms of government, especially communism, and we can look at the countries that are communist in nature, like China, like Russia, for the big ones. But there's lots of other countries too, like Cuba, like Venezuela, like Laos, Cambodia, and others. So what happens is, in our American system of government, we can remove politicians and people from office by our vote if they do not do what they say they're going to do. But in communism, in effect, the ruling party can never be removed. And if they say they have a ballot system where people can vote for a leader, well, it actually is true, but often enough, those ballots only have one name on the ballot. And often enough, every citizen is required to vote. So it's just so very different. Voting is a very important process, and we want to preserve every right that we have, including the right to vote. Yep. Let's cling to every freedom that we have, hold it tight, and not give it up. Every freedom we have. If it seems as though if we give up a little piece of one freedom or another, it's gone. We give it away, and our children, neither we nor our children, have it ever again. It's kind of like gone forever. So let's preserve America the best way we know how. And one of the rights includes our right to worship freely in a way that does not impose on others. So let's worship God as best we know how. And that is the God of the Bible, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. It's if you study it, it's all there. If you don't understand it, give it a good close look. It's all logical. You can understand it logically, and if you want, you can understand it emotionally. Both of these bases of understanding are available. You can use either or both examinations. And always, if you want more understanding, ask God for it. He gives us understanding. We just have to ask Him, and He provides. Now, I do have to say that it is in His time frame, and He works things to the best of things that are good for Him and good for us. But I remember many years ago when I said pretty much these words, God, I don't know if you are real. I kind of don't think you are. But if you are real, show me. Well, it took a long time. For me, the process was long. I was a history guy, and I read lots of books, and I read lots of books after that. History books, even Christian books. And it came about by logic that I read the books that pointed to the direction of godliness and people's experiences. And eventually, I even read the Bible twice. And it was a long process, but eventually I certainly came to believe. I found out that the Bible was the truest book I've ever read, and I had to become a Christian. That was my journey to Christ. Probably most people's is shorter than mine, but it takes what it takes. And for me, it took a lot of looking, lots. And all you need to know is the end result, is that you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am. So this is a little discussion of my salvation experience. It is powerful. So powerful that often enough when I talk about it, it just brings a tear to my eye. Yep. Well, as we go through life, we see things. We see things, well, first in the physical world, and then we realize that there's a spiritual world all around us, ever so powerful. And as we go through life, we see that we are in a great battle. Life is a battlefield, in a sense. And from what I have experienced, well, I can see that first we have earthly focus. We focus on the physical and the earthly things. And that is important no matter what. But you also gain another perspective, and that is a heavenly focus, which you will recognize that there are spiritual entities and there is an eternal life. And right along with this, you recognize that our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons, one God, but you realize the importance of this spiritual journey. There are many people who are earthly focused only, and they see things like power, like wealth, like pleasure, and that's their total focus. Well, there are people who, as a part of this, because that's their whole focus, they turn to a different god, that is, the evil god. And they get satisfaction in these other areas and ask for that god to provide them these things for them. But the satisfaction is never lasting. And always there's a desire for more wealth, more power, more pleasure. It never is satisfied if you look to the earthly focus of it all. But if you are God-focused, you get pleasure that is deep and lasting. So when you're God-focused, you see heavenly and eternal rewards, and you rejoice in these. So we are on earth here and now. And this is the time that we demonstrate and show our belief, that we believe enough in Jesus that our actions prove that we are Christ followers. And then as we live, we can feel the joy and express that joy and live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the name that we call him in our society. Jesus is his name. Christ is his position, which means the chosen one of God. Well, there's all sorts of people who have a different name for Jesus, and I think we just kind of allow that. At least we should remember that it's normal. for that to happen. Well, all sorts of people have all sorts of little special differences which make their position with God special and unique. And perhaps, to them, it's the only way that people can get some special reward is if they believe like the religion they belong to believes. Well, that's something we all have to deal with sometimes. We all meet people like that because we do. Now, these people sometimes will make a point of using only the absolutely correct name for God or for Jesus. Well, to me, if you look at that, you are looking at a Gnostic tradition, G-N-O-S-T-I-C. That tradition elevates knowledge, and it elevates people because they have a special knowledge, and sometimes it's a secret knowledge. I describe this because that's something you want to be aware of. Be very careful of this. It's tempting because we all want to have special privileges and something a little bit special. But I don't see that as the way we are supposed to understand God and follow Him. And yet, do not judge anyone for their external, I mean eternal. Don't judge them on the eternal salvation. You just want to be so careful not to do this. For whatever reason there is, calling God by a certain name or following a certain set of rules. Nope. Be careful. But be aware that there is an argument that these certain people use, and we all want to have a little something special and say, oh, yes, you are so special because you're doing this. Well, that's a way to get people into a certain belief. Well, figure it out. Have a look at the close examinations of the principles involved. And certainly, read the Bible. Figure it out according to God's Word, the Bible. It's a big book. And one thing it says is to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it says lots of things. Like I said, read it, understand it. It takes a little doing, but show your devotion. So, yes, and we do have another example of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He did not appear to have any correct words, and he did not appear to have what some people today would call a correct belief. And yet Jesus said to him, "Verily, today you shall be with me in paradise." So, the Bible is important. Your understanding of it is important. And I think that God will give you grace, and if you ask Him for understanding, He will give you understanding. And then I always like to say, remember Jesus' own commandment, which was to love one another as I have loved you. That sure is a lot of love. Love one another as I have loved you. Those are in John 15:12 and John 13:34. Well, the Bible's a big book. Make sure you get an understanding of it. And then follow. Do what you know. Yep, it's that simple. Or it's not. I guess we all have a course we have to walk to try and figure things out. It seems like we all have different capacities for understanding things, and at different times, our understandings are different. But we all try, and we all do the best we understand at the time. We need to have grace for one another. There's all sorts of examples of that all over the place in our lives, in the Bible, and I remember well, now in the 1950s, it was my dad was showing his dad, my grandpa, how to do something that was new and simple. My dad showed grandpa once, and then he showed my grandpa twice. But grandpa still didn't get it. And grandpa asked to be shown a third time. My dad, at that moment, he had a quick response, and he said, "But dad, it's so simple." And grandpa said, "Everything is simple when you know how." Well, that sure was a lesson. He told me that story because I think he was telling me a lesson in patience. And it was a lesson he learned and that I could learn from this same experience. So today I think about lessons learned, and I think a lot of things are simple, but we just don't get it sometimes. So think about the easy lessons and the hard lessons. They're both important, and we get them at different times and in different ways. I know one of the lessons I talk about so much is being prepared. It is important. There's so many different levels of what you would consider being prepared. But the idea is do something. Don't I always say that? Yes. We can't be prepared for everything. We only have so much time and so many resources. So we have to rely on people as a community. That is important. In every way, we rely on people for practical advice and spiritual support. I've had a little spiritual support and practical advice this week. And if you recall, last week I told my listeners on Christ Today that I received a box in the mail that must have been marijuana. It sure looked like it by people who told me that. So within 1 hour of receiving it, it went into police hands. I did not like that experience one bit, and I'm glad that it left me right away. I asked for prayer, and I want to thank you very much for the prayers that you gave my direction. So I'd never had an experience like this before, and I just didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to handle it. The police told me I should have called in first and said that I was coming in, and in that way it would not have been possible to have a charge against me for possessing something. Apparently some people come right up to the police station with marijuana or something else illegal, and so you're supposed to call in first. But if we never have experiences, we never know. And that's what I was trying to say with that little experience about my grandpa and my dad, is things are so simple if you understand them. But if you don't have the basic understanding, it's not simple. You don't get it right away. And with my little experience, it was something I had no experience with. I didn't get it at all. How to deal with it. So I use this as an example to say there is an advantage to being a community, and that is we can draw on the experience of more people and find good solutions. And by the way, it was a listener who was the most helpful to that situation in understanding what it all was about. Because, like I said, if you don't know, if you've never been through an experience or had somebody tell you about it, you really don't know. So he told me that a neighbor was probably watching for that box to be delivered, and the neighbor probably intended to intercept it before I got it. Well, if you're not schooled in the ways of deception, we just don't know. And just like my grandpa didn't know something, that was well understood by someone else. I didn't know something that was well understood by someone else. So, back to that community again. It's one very good reason to be a community, to combine your knowledge, and that way you can share it. A community is a good way to be interacting. So, it does change the nature of your social interaction, and it does change your personal expectations of how things work. You see, personal interactions take quite a lot of time. And certainly they do if you're going to ensure accurate communication. So if we have to rely on people and have a community effort, we have to re-examine how we communicate. We not only have to communicate accurately, but we have to be sure that our message has been communicated and understood well. This takes time. And in our world today, we just skip over so much. We don't recognize that the time that it takes to communicate accurately is more than we ever would have guessed. There's very few people who can communicate back and forth and have it be accurate communication. It just doesn't seem to exist today. So, you probably already know this. It's just that it doesn't come into your mind for something that you think about very much. But if you think about how your communication has gone, the times you've been misunderstood, you realize that this communication issue is so very important. And that's a part of if we ever do have to rely on people and become a community, whether it's a Christian community, a neighborhood community, a work community, whatever it is, it's going to take more time than we actually think. It's a painfully long time. Just be ready for that. Understand that that just seems to be the nature of accurate human communication. Not easy, because we're so used to saying something and have it being understood. Anyway. So, I think another aspect of community communication, and it's another thing you already know, but we overlook it so much, that if there's anything that really is private, it just cannot be spoken if it really is private and personal. So if you have a husband or a wife or children who talk too much, well, you will have to be the one to be careful and not speak too much. You are the one who will have to speak only what is appropriate. So don't be mad at somebody else for not keeping something that you thought was private. Realize that you are the source of the problem. And some people just can't keep their mouth shut. So just be aware of this. Recognize the difficulty in our human communication. And if our communication ever does become, well, curtailed, like if the phone service goes down or something, well, we people have a human need to communicate. And I think that if we don't have that need satisfied, we become anxious to fulfill that need. Our need becomes urgent to communicate because we have a sense of greater isolation, and so we also have the sense to reach out more. So It's just one of those things to be aware of. Be aware. Be aware. It's, yes, in normal life, and yes, in a stressful life of if we ever do have societal breakdowns. This makes me think of Jesus' commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Now, that there's a lot of aspects to that one. Love one another as I have loved you. I certainly have wondered about this, but as we look at Jesus, he certainly did not tell us everything he knew, and sometimes he spoke in parables just so that we wouldn't get the whole understanding of things, or that somebody wouldn't. And sometimes he spoke in a way which had to be interpreted. It had to be interpreted in light of other scripture. And sometimes he just didn't tell us something. It just wasn't appropriate. It wasn't the timing or something. So Jesus, who loves us, didn't communicate the whole everything. And I think this is an example of how we can recognize that the way we are supposed to communicate is with good intelligence, sensibility. It means don't blabber what you know. And certainly don't, what's that word called? There's a word that, gossip. Don't gossip. That's something which we are told not to do. It's a very bad thing. So lots of lessons. Lots of lessons. We are to speak when it's appropriate, and to not speak when it is not appropriate. So we learn this lesson in life, don't we? As young people, old people, middle-aged people, we all learn this. There's so many times we have spoken inappropriately. So the sooner we learn this lesson, the better it is in life. We make it easier on us, and we make it easier on other people. So speak the appropriateness of things. Yep, life's lessons, they're not always easy. And so what do? We say we want to learn from the mistakes of others, so that we don't have to go through the same mistakes, and especially so that we don't have to experience the same pain that the other people have gone through. So yeah, let's be wise and let's learn from the mistakes of others so that we don't have to go through the same mistakes. And that's the great thing about the Bible. That's the great thing about observing people, about reading books and history. We can see that there's good behavior and bad behavior, and we can see the consequences of each. So yeah, there's lots of stories that tell about this. Stories and situations, and they're right in the Bible too. Don't forget that. That's a great place to study. It helps us to think. It helps us to draw parallels between situations we either know of or we are in the middle of. We can find a lot of good advice by reading the Bible and just recognizing human nature. Human nature, it's one thing that just doesn't seem to change much over time. So study that book, have a look, and see how, even if the situations don't line up perfectly with what you're needing understanding with, what you're needing to look at the situation with, look at it. Try to understand it. Try to see how it relates to you in your situation. Study, think, and then apply those lessons. It seems like, well, we want life to be easy, don't we? But life's not always easy. We want pleasure. We want satisfaction. But as you know, we don't always get pleasure and satisfaction from things. And especially if we look at things, well, let me see. We want to look at things from God's point of view. If we see things from God's point of view, we make our understanding greater, and we can see things that we didn't see before. And yes, it takes practice, and we don't necessarily get it right the first few times, but we learn, and we get better and better at it. So, you know, I do want to thank you for the prayers that you have put my direction. Thank you very much. We care for each other as a Christian community, and we keep trying to take steps forward and understand life and life experience and have compassion and love for one another. And we just keep trying to make things work in good ways. That seems to be life experience. Oh, so many good things. And that's the thing, we have to remember the good things, all the good things in life. Oh, there's so many good things. And that is a part of Thanksgiving. I was just thinking 5 days to Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving, this is a day that we have to celebrate and to remember our thankfulness. There are just so many things to be thankful for, from the very, very basics, like having life, like having the ability to breathe, like having our bodies work, having our brains being able to function and sense the world around us. There are just so many things. Thankfulness, that's what we want to do. Celebrate thankfulness, and 5 days away is Thanksgiving. That's the National Day of Thanksgiving. Going back, that first Thanksgiving is it's said to have been in October of 1621, and it was a day when those early Americans gave thanks to God for providing the food, and that really meant the crops or the animals around to eat. Food. Well, God provided the food, but those pilgrims, they provided the labor to tend and to till the field. That's a part of our part of it. God provides, but we work. And so, it's a concept for today. We still have to work whatever those fields are, whether the fields are for our grains and our vegetables, or to get a turkey or something like that. We have to have some work. Work is what we do. But God provides. He provides part, and we provide part, and we get the bounty of it. Originally, it seems that a most important part of Thanksgiving was to be thankful, prayerfully thankful. That was what was important. Sure, there was a celebration of eating food, but it was the thankfulness that was the main part of Thanksgiving. In 1789, our president, George Washington, made Thanksgiving a national holiday for the purpose of giving thanks to God. Wonderful, wonderful. It's a part of what we need to do. Thankfulness is always something that is good for our being, our well-being, and for anyone who we're communicating with. Look at, when you're thankful to your spouse, your family, a person around you, somebody who knows you, that thankfulness goes a long way to having a relationship work. So, I think that's just a parallel that we can use to understand that relationship with God. Show thankfulness. That's a big lesson. Well, I know that historians in recent years have wanted to look back on those early Americans, the early settlers and the early founding fathers, and they wanted to make history change. They want to destroy any element of righteous morality and decent character that they were in those early settlers. And I am a historian at heart, and I certainly so much value accurate historical records. I've been reading, in my life, I've read so many books, so many reproductions of original notes. And yes, they were hard to read because those original English languages were sometimes really, really challenging. But I would like you to hear the assessment that I have on those early Americans. Well, to me, they were pretty much all good character, good moral and decent people. And there was a very few, that had a bad element in them. There were a very few who acted criminally towards the Native Americans. And when those bad acts were caught, those early Americans were punished severely for their bad actions towards the Native Americans. This is something that just so often gets overlooked. And yes, in our history, there has been mistreatment of American Indians. Sometimes it's been terrible and tragic. But I urge you to examine the records for yourself. Examine these things and try to understand it, because we have a good history. We have a lot of righteous decency in our history. So look for yourself. The records are available. And somehow it's not always easy to find those records, but I take great issue with the people who want to tell us our founding fathers were troublemakers or didn't believe in God. I'll tell you, if you read those early records, they were decent, God-loving men, God-loving and God-fearing. And they also treated the Native American Indians very well as a rule. And I'm talking about the 1600s and the 1700s, and not the 1800s, which had some seriously awful events happen. But the 1600s and 1700s, they had a lot of Christian interaction. Not the 1800s. But look and see what... If you have questions about it, look at the basic information. Look at what those early records indicate. Read the writings of the men who lived then, not the interpretations of modern-day Americans who spin things. The historians today, I have to say, they are not representing historical truth. But I have studied these matters. I have spent days and days in different university libraries all over the place, just because I loved to pursue history and I loved to understand historical events. I didn't want to write a book. I didn't want to keep these notes for some later purpose, but I wanted to have and develop an understanding. So I did. I looked at great depth all over the place, just for my own satisfaction, my own sense of fun. So I have developed ideas about our pilgrims, our founding fathers, and their almost completely moral and decent behavior. But yeah, there were exceptions, and there were bad things that did happen. There's no doubt about this. And by the way, that's also the way it is with the American Indian Native peoples. They were almost all good and decent people, but just like with the early settlers, there were a few just people that you just would not want to have around you. As I said, it was especially in the latter centuries. But on every side, there were a few cases of great bad things happening. So, look with a discerning eye and try to understand and try to recognize that, yeah, there were a few bad American settlers and there were a few bad American Indian Native peoples. But have a look. Have a look. In all cases, these bad men were pretty much cast out of society. They were not welcomed, and they were shunned. So have a realistic look at what it is that is true history. Have a look for yourself. It's all there. It's all available, especially now when we have computers. The records are available, and you can read those things. No, it's not easy. It takes time. And that's what it takes to get the real information. So, I think the lesson that we can really learn here is that we don't like injustices, and we don't want them in our society today. We want to correct what we can, but somehow we just don't know how to do that. But the big thing is, we do want to have liberty and justice for all. We really do. That's our desire. That's what we want. And that we want to live in accordance with God's standards, as best we know how. So let's do that. Let's live as best we know how according to God's standards. And sure, we can agree, we can disagree, we can discuss this and that. We can examine past, we can look in the future. It's all interesting. But we have to remember that the here now is the most important. The life that we're living right here, right now, that is what we need to pay the most attention to. Life, death, and life after death. Now that's the really important question. Life, death, and life after death. That is the only important question. So what do? I say we choose Jesus, and then we live out our choice. Jesus tells us how to live. After we have chosen Jesus, we make every effort to do that. So I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to ChristToday.org. That's www.ChristToday.org. All lowercase, no spaces. And then you can listen to past programs if you so desire. Thank you for listening. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. God bless you.